A reading from the book of the prophet Micah. Thus says the Lord, "You, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, too small to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, the Lord will give them up until the time when she who is to give birth has borne, and the rest of his kindred shall return to the children of Israel. He shall stand firm and shepherd his flock by the strength of the Lord. In the majestic name of the Lord is God, and they shall remain. For now his greatness shall reach to the ends of the earth. He shall be peace." The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. In holocausts and sin offerings you took no delight." Then I said, "As is written of me in the scroll, behold, I come to do your will, O God." First he says, "Sacrifices and offerings, holocausts and sin offerings, you neither desired nor delighted in. These are offered according to the law." Then he says, "Behold, I come to do your will." He takes away the first to establish the second. By this will, we have been consecrated through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." Verbum Domini. We are just a few days away from Christmas, and we have these beautiful readings from the scriptures about Mary and her role in the events just preceding the birth of Christ. And today, we see the scene of the visitation, that she sets out. So this is right after it goes over the hill country of Judah in haste. Sets out in haste. And this is right after her annunciation, right? That she asked, "How shall this be done?" Not doubting the ability of God to accomplish this, but the manner in which he was going to do it. Gabriel tells her, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And what conceived in you will be the Son of the Most High, will be the Son of God. And the sign given to her that this will be true is Elizabeth conceives a child in her old age. So it's a miraculous birth that an infertile woman could conceive. Mary, the ever-virgin, is asked to believe in a virginal conception, another level of faith, to believe how God could do that. And then she sets out in haste. That setting out, that arising, same word used to describe the resurrection in Luke's gospel, the Greek word, that she's operating with this new power. Even her fiat, her "let it be done to me," is the tense of that Greek word, is one of this energetic yes, this zealous yes, this grasping, this seizing hold of this to give it her whole being. So she goes to help her cousin, to serve her cousin, 90 miles. If she goes by the Dead Sea, it's 3,000 feet change in elevation at least. Energetic, to say the least. So when she gets there, and Elizabeth, she greets the family, and Elizabeth hears the greeting. The infant, John the Baptist, leapt in her womb. Elizabeth's filled with the Holy Spirit, cries out in a loud voice. So that's interesting because when she hears Mary's greeting, that Mary is the mediatrix. She is bringing Jesus to her, conceived in her womb. She's the first evangelizer. That Mary is the first and preeminent member of the church, church being the body of Christ. Mary, a human person, has to live by faith as this preeminent member, this model of faith, the first disciple, the first to believe, and even least in the kingdom of heaven, we're told, is greater than John the Baptist, that she believes, and she's bringing Jesus. She's this mediatrix. She is mother of the church, that mediatrix role is exercised in this deeply maternal way. She's going to serve, to help Elizabeth with her pregnancy. And John the Baptist recognizes the Savior here in her womb. And as commentators have pointed out, it was similar to David dancing before the ark, you know, like 1,000 years before this event, when the ark is being brought, I think it was to Shiloh. He's doing this kind of spinning dance, this celebratory dance. And John the Baptist now is leaping before Mary, the new ark. Remember, the Ark of the Covenant was eventually kept in the temple, and the glory of God, the Shekinah glory, would descend upon that temple at times, above the ark at the mercy seat, this presence of God. So Mary, again, those are types, foreshadowings. Mary is the fulfillment of this. She's bringing Christ himself. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, cries out in a loud voice. So Mary, in bringing Jesus, and Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit. We could say that's the purpose of his whole mission, our redemption, salvation, ascends to heaven and sends that Holy Spirit, the sanctifier, to make present the mystery of Christ to us, the church teaches. That Holy Spirit, that gift, makes Jesus and the Paschal mystery present to us. And our sharing in that Paschal mystery, the death and resurrection of Christ, is holiness. Our sharing in that, in carrying our crosses, that's our salvation. That's where the heavy lifting is done in our sanctification. So we have this model of what is going to be, you know, fulfilled in Jesus at Calvary, his ascension at Pentecost, sending the Holy Spirit upon the church. You know, the apostles are sent out. There's apostolic mission to go and proclaim, to govern, to sanctify the church and the sacraments. So Elizabeth cries out in a loud voice. Zechariah, remember, he disbelieves Gabriel when he appears to Gabriel offering incense in the temple. It's such a contrast, isn't it? Zechariah is in the temple. He's an ordained priest offering his turn. They'd have this rotation, I think, however how many years. Doesn't happen every week, you know. But he's there at the big moment in the temple offering incense, has every reason to believe. If you think Gabriel's going to appear, that's going to be the time. And he disbelieves. He doubts. How can this happen? You know, my wife's is elderly, lack of faith. So he is struck mute. He can't speak. So now Mary, with her perfect faith, there have these shouts of joy. Not only are they speaking, they're like shouting this proclamation to each other. It's a great image of faith. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. This phrase is used in the Old Testament surrounding these Jael and Judith. And Jael was at the time of the judges. You know, they were trying to clear out the Canaanites from the promised land, and the general of the whatever group of Canaanites was fleeing the Israelite army and goes into this little village where Jael, you know, takes them into her tent and calmly and quietly hammers a tent peg through his forehead. You read that in the office every year, and it's like it wakes you up. What? You weren't expecting that to happen. Judith beheads Holofernes, you know, and another time, an enemy, the general of Nebuchadnezzar, beheads him. And so in celebrating these two women who defeated the enemy, they use this phrase, blessed are you among women. and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And both involve these lethal blows to the head. Reminds us of Genesis 3:15. You know, that he will strike at your heel and you will crush his head. Or the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent, we're told in Genesis 3:15. This crushing of the head, this lethal blow, the seed of the woman. Jesus crushes the head on Calvary, and he comes from Mary, right? Mary's his mother. She participates in that crushing of the head. Powerful statement that Mary shares in this victory over evil. And at the time, you know, in this time of warfare in the Old Testament, it was especially humiliating, considered to be shameful that a woman would kill these generals. And maybe so today, as Mary is victorious over the serpent, shameful. Maybe that's why God does that. You know, she is most feared by Satan, the exorcist tells us. It's especially humiliating that this woman, this virgin of Nazareth, completely overlooked in society, Nazareth, a small little village, not mentioned in the Old Testament, you know, that Mary would receive the words of the angel and believe and be part of the crushing of the serpent's head. So how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? This great humility that Elizabeth has, the sound of your greeting reached my ears. Isn't that beautiful? The infant leapt for joy. Just the sound of your greeting. Remember, from the cross, Mary is given to us to be our mother, mother in the order of grace. You know, we need to pray our rosaries, our consecrations, to appeal to her, to pray and ask for her help. The sound of her greeting. As she prays and intercedes for us, imagine the power of that. The infant leapt for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. Mary, a human person, had to live by faith, hope, and charity. In doing so, she brings supernatural life to soul, the supernatural life won for us by Christ on the cross. The Catechism beautifully teaches, drawing from the Church's document, the Vatican II document on the Church, that Mary is a symbol of the most perfect realization of the Church. Not just an Old Testament type foreshadowing, but a realization of the Church. That she goes before the Church in the sense that she cooperates through faith and obedience in human salvation. She gives her yes in the name of all human nature. You know, she gives her fiat, let it be done to me according to thy word. Representative of all of humanity. She becomes the new Eve. Eve was supposed to be the mother of the living, and now she stands with Christ, her son, as the head of a new redeemed humanity, that she is the true mother of all the living. Eve took the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they were not supposed to take, gave it to her husband. Mary receives and believes the word. You know, conceiving the word first in her heart, then in her flesh. And she's giving the fruit of her womb, the fruit of which is Jesus Christ for our salvation. Holiness, the Catechism teaches, is measured according to the great mystery, referring to Ephesians 5, in which the bride responds to the gift of love to the gift of the bridegroom. We're told that Jesus lays down his life for the church. Our response to his giving of himself to us is holiness. And Mary goes before us all in the holiness that is the church's mystery as the bride without spot or wrinkle. And we say, as John Paul emphasized, that Marian dimension, that one of faith, of discipleship, of service precedes the Petrine, the offices of the church. Holiness precedes the works that we do, that we need to have that communion with Christ. So Mary's faith, that she believed Gabriel, that nothing would be impossible with God, she gives her assent, fiat, and this is the perfect realization of the church's faith. And then she goes to serve Elizabeth. What an image for us, what a model. Faith gets us moving. We want to share what we have received. We want to give that to others. It's called evangelization. Maybe simply to speak what the Lord has done for us. Why are we here in church? Why do we pray? Why do we try good works to do good works? Why do we try to grow in holiness? We've received this beautiful gift of communion with Christ, this communion that we have in the heart of the church. So she's a model of evangelization, bringing Christ to Elizabeth. And what are some of the elements here? She's serving. She does this humble service. There's joy. If we're going to win the world, we have to have these elements, to be humble, to be a servant. How can we help that person to carry the joy of Christ in our hearts? She made this 90-mile journey to walk with someone else in our life, to accompany them, to share what we have been given. The network recently aired a documentary film, I think it was produced by Focus. It was on Michelle Dupont, and she's a servant of God from North Dakota. She was a Focus missionary for 6 years, then worked for the Diocese of Bismarck in the faith, adult faith formation for a couple of years or so. And then she was diagnosed with cancer. I think originally given 2 months to live, she lived a year. But she had this, she was a great evangelizer with Focus. And she had this great faith in approaching this terrible suffering. She had a year-long battle with cancer that she accepted and was docile to the will of God. You know, I'm sure offering that up to the Lord. Humble. She had a boyfriend. She wanted to get married, have children. And she accepted all this in faith. You know, that's a powerful witness. And we can all witness to something in our life, an exercise of faith with others. You know, don't be afraid of that. To bring this new life to others, to witness, to walk with them, to serve. We have beautiful models that go before us. Let us look to these witnesses in faith.